Good afternoon.
Hi there.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Now we're back.
Hi there.
Good afternoon. You're joining We the People Radio for another fun-filled Sunday afternoon here. And we have a guest with us today. We have Guy Asherman in for his annual visit. I was going to get to that.
Sorry,
I just like to do it different.
Oh, okay.
See, Bill likes to do it the same every week. I like to do it different. My name is Erin Ryan.
Oh, and I'm Bill Kunda.
If you're going to do it different, you have to fill that space with sound, actual sound.
That's a sound bite I'm going to say.
And Bob Martin is our all-around good guy, music guy, pushes all the buttons. Without Bob.
Good afternoon, Erin and Bill.
We just sound like
good
nothing.
Good afternoon, Bob. I did mess with your soundboard there earlier. I've mastered the control of the volume button. That's the one button I know how to use.
I know. It's the one I know how to use,
too. Yeah, the rest of them are very intimidating.
Come in here, and it's like, wow. So, we thought we would take a break from some of the normal stuff, the national security and all that jazz. And I'm here with three very nice men. Isn't that just a rarity these days? And nobody's going to be burned at the stake in the new Salem witch trials.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be coming after me in the near future.
No. I think you guys are all pretty safe, but who knows, right? It's all about the finger pointing. And sometimes it's about the bad behavior, but...
And sometimes it's about who people choose to believe.
Yeah, and then there's that.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to be a bad person to be, you know, ousted
labeled.
And in the olden days... Remember in the olden days, the only time that really was a big deal was during, like, some divorce proceeding. Mm-hmm. And then somebody would say...
All the dirty laundry came out.
Well, it was like, the dad's a molester, you know, and that was where the bad accusations came out, you know, was to hammer the dad in the court proceedings. And now it's like, I don't know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, all past transgressions are, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I can't even say it, let alone do it.
Freudian.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Yeah, it gets all
but it all comes out now. I don't care if it's 40 years ago.
Oh, no! Suck again!
Exactly.
That's what all the men are thinking at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah, I even missed that Garrison Keillor. Apparently Garrison Keillor from the Prairie Home Companions of Purr.
I mean...
He
said he patted a woman on the back and accidentally put his hand 6 inches up her dress. She was wearing a
dress
with an opening in the back or something.
You know, she was 7.5 feet tall.
Okay, I didn't hear any of it, and that's a lot more fun. I wish I would have heard the story.
Yeah, that about rises to the level of 93-year-old George H.W. Bush patting somebody on the rear. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't know that. I never heard the story. It was
about Keillor?
Yeah, no. He was eclipsed by Matt Lauer, but I thought, what? What about all the Methodists and all that stuff? Okay, well, so he's not really a pervert.
I'm Garrison Keillor. I'm at 90s, and I'm just saying, you know what, guys? I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's pretty old. Is he old?
He said he's probably our age. He said he's 75, and he has no desire to re-argue this. He said he apologized to the woman years ago, and he thought everything was great until...
She came.
After all of this latest... goings on with sexual harassment and everything, all of a sudden he gets a call from a lawyer.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a fad that's in...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah,
okay, so you were a pastor for...
Off and on.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, a long time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And the Higher Ground Counseling, do we call it a service?
Center.
Yeah. Center, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm after. Has been up and running for a year, 2 years?
New location, almost 2 years now.
Oh, my gosh. I remember we talked to you right when it first started.
And that's when I started devoting my full time to it. But it's been around since 2010. And operating out of the church. Now we're operating independently of that in our own office location down off of Park Marina.
Okay.
Yeah.
And actually, you got there just in time to... catch the wave.
Yeah, no kidding.
You had no idea the world was going to become mass hysteria.
Yeah.
So what do you see from your vantage point? What does all this look like?
Well, I guess on the heels of your comments right here, I think it's important for us to point out that perversion is not restricted to Democrats or Republicans. It's a human condition.
Yeah, right.
And it is interesting that if I hear a liberal commenting on a conservative's fall from grace, there's so much vitriol and so much hatred.
Yeah.
But the other is also true.
And you throw in a little glee. Don't forget the glee.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're rejoicing.
Yeah, there's a little glee going on.
Yeah, try not to dance on my grave.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Matt Lauer, remember when he had Bill O'Reilly on? I just listened to that the other day, and, you know, well, don't you feel dirty for doing that?
Yeah. And it's, how do you explain?
How do you live with yourself? No, yeah. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we have a human condition, and it's not assigned on the basis of political affiliation.
Yeah, no.
It's assigned to being human.
But what about I'll be the staff misogynist here. So what about the 40 years ago, something, you know, may or may not have happened, and suddenly it's coming up a month before the election, you know?
That kind of makes it political.
What about that whole mindset, though? What's up with that? Because it looks to me like just straight manipulation.
Well, I think the timing says everything about it.
I think so, too.
And it does have to do with politics, you know. So it's really a shame.
Yeah.
And also, how many of us are the same people we were 40 years ago?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so it's like this legalistic, condemned, until your last dying breath, there's no grace, there's condemnation, there's accusations. And we don't even know to what degree those accusations are, number one, true, and number two, to what degree they are.
Right.
But the accusation makes you guilty, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't used to be that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be if you got accused of something, you got your day in court, and everybody kind of withheld judgment a little bit,
right.
But today it's quick to judge and move on.
Mm-hmm. So you're condemned at just somebody suggesting it, and that's not due process. I've heard that word a couple of times.
Well, we seem to have kind of done away with it.
Yeah,
because you look at some of those things, and how are you ever gonna? How do you defend yourself, against something that didn't happen?
Yeah.
That's incredibly difficult.
It is.
And the person accusing has zero to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
No witnesses, no nothing.
Yeah.
So they point the finger. The other person says, I didn't do it.
Pick a team.
Yeah. And then it depends on if people like you or not. It's almost like a popularity contest. Have people been waiting to hang you? And if they have, yes.
Yeah, they rejoice.
This is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But if it's somebody on their side, it's completely ignored. Thus, Bill Clinton.
I was going to say the original poster child. Yeah, for this type of thing, and you know, it didn't matter how many people they brought out against those guys. You know, everybody was lying.
Yeah.
Or my favorite, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
It's his private life.
It has nothing to do with his job. It's his private life.
What goes on in his private life. That was the defense back then, too.
It was too.
His private life, and we shouldn't be concerned.
Well, all of it
that.
Is private life.
Sure it is.
Well, except for Matt Lauer with the secret button in his room that locked people in. and the toys in the desk. That was kind of at work.
Well, that's at work, yeah.
was at work.
Well, so was the other.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. The other one involved a desk as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was his private life on public property, the White House.
Yes.
Yeah, it just... But see, a lot of these, like the Judge Roy Moore thing, I mean, that's just been weird. A lot of that stuff just doesn't even really add up.
I think we are in a disaster. That's not the right word. The foundations are gone, and truth has become so incredibly obscure on just about every level.
Yeah.
We are a society now where nothing holds us united. What are the common values that we have that make us a civilization and a society? And those foundations are being destroyed. In fact, some would say already have been destroyed. And on that basis, then, what is truth? It goes back to Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is truth? So if we don't know what truth is, and we know that there are elements in societies around the world that are trying to undermine concepts of truth for the very purpose of destroying civilizations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, you sow the seeds of doubt everywhere.
Everywhere.
Some of them are going to grow.
Yeah, I heard the other day somebody was saying that all great civilizations of the past have all fallen from within, not conquered from mm-hmm. from the outside, and that's, I think, what we're seeing today is we're destroying ourselves from within, and I think we're going to get to a point where it will collapse if we don't turn it around and mm-hmm. get back on some sort of moral and ethical.
Well, like we're
standing.
No longer, right. You know, you look at it as a society, we're no longer willing to public. Well, okay, I am, and you probably are, but as a society, we're no longer willing to come forward and say, look, there are men and there are women. There are boys and there are girls, and those are the choices. Mm-hmm. That's all you get to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think maybe that's what's happening now? Is we are
we have 22 genders?
Maybe we're attempting to get back on some sort of moral standard. I don't see that. I mean, with the, you know, the removal of God from everything, the you know, you can't put the Ten Commandments on anything anymore. You know, flags are discriminating. I mean, there's so many
things.
Well,
I have a tagline on my email that says, "In God we trust, all others we question," mm-hmm. which I kind of like.
To. But now it is God we question,
yep.
And the opposite party we don't. But we only hold our party in trust, the opposite party.
Right. Kind
or God,
of,
we
but
don't.
Even that's, see, that's the part that's kind of interesting, because I'll wind up talking to people like about the tax bill. Mm-hmm. Well, the tax bill is about math. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's about numbers, and numbers are fairly static. You know, they you know, two and two always comes out four, unless
sure.
you know, we do the Common Core thing. But and we check our feelings and what gender we want to be that day.
I'm
not really sure what else
thing.
We're injecting into that, but I think there's a lot. Yeah. But in real life, you know, things still add up. And I had someone tell me that the standard deduction was going to be $4,000, and he was just going to get creamed in the federal tax. And I said, well, sir, it's $12,000 for an individual, $24,000 for a married couple, and most people do not have mm-hmm. deductions that exceed that. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's $4,000. I know it is, because that's what I saw on the news. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not in charge of the news.
Right.
So I can't do that. I can't fix that for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you can, well, I don't believe you. And I thought, well, it's a number. You can go look it up.
Right. Yeah, people believe what they want to believe.
And yet, even
don't
a number,
confuse me
you
with
can't,
the facts.
You can't
right,
go look
right.
up a number that hasn't, it's not even like it used to be four and it went up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even, I don't know.
They would rather engage the fury.
Yeah, it's really
facts.
Weird. He wanted to be all mad about it. And I'm like,
they believe
is...
what they want to believe, and they believe who they want to believe.
Yes.
And so whatever a person that they really trust says, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
No sense in doing your own homework and your
right.
own research.
Right.
If he said it, it's true. I don't worry about the rest of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
Bill's over here trying to be Italian. He's waving his arms around.
But I think it's really important for all
Italian.
Of us, regardless of what our political positions may be. It is the human condition. We all have it. And there is a remedy for it. And the remedy for it is a surrendered heart to the foundations and principles of our country and of spiritual values that say there's something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
This goes beyond being human.
Yeah, we're not
beings.
Really the boss of this whole thing.
Right. And, well, we're trying to be, and look what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. We're not really yeah. the boss of it, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why we're doing such a stinky job.
Yeah. Blaise Pascal said, "Truth is so obscure nowadays and lies so well established that unless we love the truth," oops, I got canceled, "we shall never recognize it." And I think that's where we are today. And he wrote this how long ago? You know,
yeah.
hundreds of years ago. But so it's always been that way. That we always try to obscure truth in order to tell the lie and tell it enough times that people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are today. And, I mean, just look at the Facebook wars, the things that people are throwing back and forth
yeah.
at each other. And I used to get into those, you know, because I was right and they were wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
And it's just like,
eventually,
you know,
you're going to come out on top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wrong.
It's like,
no,
I'm just going to walk away.
There's more of them than there are of you.
And, yeah, so, some of it's kind of fun, but not as much fun as it should be.
I will attempt to give you the truth on the standard deduction here.
Yes.
With this disclaimer, it does come from CNN Money. No. But it says the House and Senate bills, the new tax bills, nearly double the standard deduction. For single filers, the Senate bill increases it from $6,350 to $12,000. Mm-hmm. And for married couples filing jointly, it rises from $12,700 to $24,000.
Yes.
$24,000.
And in that whole thing, it was never four. And that's what I told him. I said, I think you just heard the four of the 24.
I think he did.
And yeah, I was like, this isn't really something I'm willing to argue about, because this is really easy to prove.
Yeah.
So I offered to, like, email him something, but, of course, what I would send would be a lie. So I was like, okay, I give up. Yeah. Hey, so do we need to take a really fast break since we're kind of blowing through all the breaks?
Yeah, we do need to take a break.
See, and I always blame it on the fact the person's on the phone and we can't really give them the high sign, but you're sitting right here. And we're almost 10 minutes past. So, okay.
That just means we're having fun.
That just means that I basically can't tell time. So time is very relative for me when it comes to all of this madness. Bob? Oh, hey, there we go. We are good to go. All right. Take a really quick break and celebrate a little capitalism, another thing we love to hate these days. And we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.com. .us. .net. .org.
We got them all.
I've got them all, but dog's off. They want you all body and soul. It's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? Ooh, you like to think that you're immune to the stuff. Oh yeah. So say to the truth to say, can't get enough, you know you're gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love.
Problem.
I'm sure that's it. That's what's doing it.
That's the whole thing. It doesn't have. It's
you think
love?
You think Matt Lauer's out there mowing his lawn today, humming this one?
Yeah
probably not.
Hope he has a different neighbor than Rand Paul.
That's exactly what I was thinking until his neighbor comes over and tackles him. He's totally going there. Yeah, can you imagine that? You're just mowing your grass, and all of a sudden, you have a wild animal on your back. I can't. I seriously.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, we were feuding over landscaping. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You must have some amazing landscaping. I don't know. But stuff like that.
But that's how...
That's all part and parcel of this whole problem.
Well, we have all been whipped into this frenzy of hatred and malice and accusation that we don't love our enemies.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to
agree.
I think we can all agree on that, actually. I don't think you'd have anybody who would argue that point.
And we have a pretty strong mandate from the Lord that says that's actually what we should be doing. And actually, through that, that's how we win people. Mm-hmm. You know, not to our opinion, but to His opinions, the Lord's opinions. And
but you have to actually know what they are.
Well, you do. We have to know what they are.
Therein lies the problem.
Therein does lie the problem. Let me share a couple thoughts with you, if I could.
Do it.
This is from Psalms 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's a question the psalmist asks without giving it an answer. What do the righteous do? And, of course, both sides say they're the righteous side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the problem is we don't know what the foundations are, and we're sitting on sand, trying to build on sand, and it cannot... It cannot survive. Here's Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So the Lord is saying, come back to these foundations. And the people are saying, no, we're not going back to those foundations.
Right.
And there is, therefore, no remedy.
Right. Well, we're going to chart a new course.
But that's better than his.
But the new course goes nowhere.
Right, right.
I mean, it's almost...
Well, it goes to the same place it's always gone, you know, and that's getting back to...
Are we talking about Satan?
Satan. it just...
Sorry, someone had to say it.
It's the cause of the collapse of every civilization. You know, look at the Romans are a classic example. I mean, they just got so sideways with everything that they... They crushed themselves.
And they were the birthplace of republic government.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fantastic empire at first.
Yeah, it was the model for the world. Look what they achieved. But it, it crumbled. And now I think our civilization, our culture, our society in the United States is a model for the world. But lately, mm-hmm. is this the model?
No.
It's not the model.
No, it's not.
It's completely.
It's a bit embarrassing, is what it is.
Yeah.
And other countries have to look at us the same way. It's like we're not the great America we used to be. We don't want to do what they're doing.
Well, we used to defend. We used to at least agree on being Americans.
Right.
I mean, okay. So maybe we can't agree on God necessarily.
Yeah.
You know which. I don't even know how to say it, like version of God. I don't know if that's how they look at it, like versions. But at least we were all Americans, and that was a good thing. And now, well, that's not a good thing anymore.
Well, if you have national pride now, you're a fascist.
Right.
You know, so you're either a fascist or you're a progressive. Mm-hmm. And they have eliminated folks like us who say, I'm neither.
Right.
I'm neither. But they're so effective in their labeling that people just buy it. And so if a liberal sees you walking through the grocery store with a Make America Great Again hat,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be subject to an awful lot of persecution. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that happened. This lady walked up and said, "What's the matter with you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself," simply because she had a cap on.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you can't be for America.
Uh-uh.
Right.
It is globalism, and the whole concept of humanism and globalism that we've been fighting for so many years has taken such strong root that we're not sure we can get
well,
it back.
Because this idea of being inclusive has been pushed so hard, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to be inclusive of everyone. Now, on the surface, that seems like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody has to check their values, their morals, their nationality, everything at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk into the white room where there is nothing and no direction. And that's what inclusive is. Well, that's always going to take a weird turn.
No matter what country, no matter what their foundation.
Exactly. Because there's no respect for what people believe. I mean, you used to, I don't know, you know, I think I've told you this before. I grew up in a neighborhood where basically everybody was Jewish. Rabbis and stuff. I mean, not you know, just sometimes Saturday Jewish. I mean, they're Jewish 7 days a week. And we were Catholic and they were Jewish and, you know, they kind of celebrated our holiday things with us, and we got to go to their stuff, and it was all really interesting.
Sure.
It was a great place to grow up, and it was very informative. But it wasn't where our stuff is better than your stuff, and you don't fit in because you're not like us. I mean, everybody was able to be included, but have their own.
Right.
And somehow now we don't have – that's
we,
like
–
that's a bad
that
thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think would happen, you know – do you remember during the 9/11 days, everybody turned into a patriot? We all flew American flags.
For
we all were
days.
Proud. Yeah, exactly. But we all came together. The same thing happened, you know, like during World War II. Mm-hmm. Everybody pitched in for the war effort. Today, I'm afraid that if something like that happened again, where we were really threatened as a nation by another country, I'm not so sure that people would come together again. I think we've divided ourselves so much that we could be in real trouble.
We're already blaming the current administration for
everything.
For everything, but we're already blaming President Trump for the nuclear weapon that North Korea might send our way.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they've already started this, sowing those seeds that says, if this happens, it's our fault. And
it's like, wait
so
a minute, this person was a crazy
unity?
Person a long time ago.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you're right, Bill. I think what's going to rally us if somebody attacks us, we're actually going to blame ourselves and turn against ourselves.
Right. And that just makes it so much easier for the inevitable, which is collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll turn into a warring nation on ourselves, which is pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you can't, I mean, I always go back to it, but if you can't agree that there are two genders in the world, I mean, really, where are we going?
Yeah.
You know, if that's up for debate, what the heck?
No foundation and no absolutes. That's what we really hate.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm...
We don't like an absolute anything.
Right.
Everything has to be questioned, and your truth may not be my truth, which means truth doesn't exist.
Oh, wait, and then we say, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I've always hated that. I'm like, you can't agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So, anyway, I thought I could share a few thoughts.
Do it.
From our history, mm-hmm. where we're talking about foundations, okay? And I sincerely believe, not in a cultish way, not in a bigoted way.
Oh, darn it.
I'm giving my disclaimers already.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a big disclaimer.
We were really looking forward to the cultish one.
we've always been a mixed bag.
Sure.
Our country from its very inception has always been diverse in different thoughts and different thinking. So I don't want to say some things here by way of quotes to say that everybody felt this way. It's always been a melting pot. Now it's a tossed salad. I like the melting pot better,
yeah.
right? But this, just some quotes. This is Harvard was the first university that was founded on American soil. And it was established by the Puritans in 1636. And these are their original rules and precepts. Okay, quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well. The main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And therefore lay Christ at the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." And the motto for Harvard was Truth for Christ and the Church.
Wow.
What happened?
that's a great question.
That is not the case today.
It is not.
Absolutely
in
not.
In any of our universities.
Uh-uh. Nope.
And if anything, it's going hard the other way.
It is anti their foundation.
Yeah, let's pretend that never happened.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's almost like a dirty secret they want to hide, and I'm thinking...
Well, you know, who was it who said the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance?
Yes.
And I think sometimes in our success through the couple of centuries that we've been around is we got a little too relaxed. We got a little too
We thought it was all going to be fine.
Yeah, and we forgot about what fight it was to establish this country in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were reaping all of the benefits without realizing that there is a real problem with despots. There's a real problem with wrong thinking and bad philosophy and bad politics, and we just kind of let it go. But certainly the university system and school system as a whole has become a great problem. And I have a theory as to why, Bill. They became public.
Oh.
Okay, so any institution...
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Because otherwise we're going to have 7 breaks all at the same time.
Okay, we'll come back.
we've got to come back to that one because I know where you're going on that night.
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right, I'll find out if he knows during the break and then we'll let you know when we come back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style? And do you think that we've grown up differently? Don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. Things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years?
This always gives me new appreciation for the music we grew up with.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Good one, Bob. All right.
So true.
All right, so...
Private...
Pick up where we left off.
Privatizing education.
Yeah. Education, hospitals, the establishment of very basic institutions in this country was done by private... Mm-hmm. A lot of it was done by churches as well. But churches built the hospitals. And so when it became governed by public monies, it spoiled us. We fell for the lie. Mm-hmm. And now anybody who works within the organization is always going to move into the direction of socialism.
Right.
Because they are part – I might get a phone call or two on this one. If you're working for
– We'll give them your number.
The government
530-605-4567.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, we have a phone call. Oh,
we do? Oh, we already forgot about okay.
Well,
sorry.
Finish your thought.
Yeah. Well, now I don't even know what it was.
Well, privatize, anytime you take
if
government.
If you work within the government institutions in some capacity, you're already working for the system. You're already getting paid by the system.
Yeah.
And to vote against that system is detrimental to your own well-being. And so, you know, as soon as you have 50% of the people all working for government, then you can't turn around anything because they vote for their own self-interest.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. So that's what's happening in our education system. Can I share one more quote?
Yeah, do it.
This is a quote from the National Education Association from 1892, when it was first getting established. Okay, this is what they said. They issued a warning about secular progression of the public schools. Quote, if the study of the Bible is to be excluded from all state schools, if the inculcation of the principles of Christianity is to have no place in the daily programs, if the worship of God is to form no part of the general exercise of these public elementary schools, then the good of the state would be better served by restoring all schools to church control. Those are our foundations.
And that was the NEA.
That was the NEA. Not today, that's not the NEA.
No.
No, because here we have the National Education Association, the nation's largest professional employee organization.
Mm-hmm.
So forget about those students. It's the largest employee organization.
Yeah.
Is committed to advancing the cause of public education. They have 3 million members that work at every level of education. I mean, that's when you click on the About tab at NEA, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Just that. It's not about our principles, our values, and...
you won't find this quote on their site.
And there's no G-O-D in there.
No.
No.
No, you won't find that quote on their site.
Interesting.
Do we have a caller?
Yes. Mort's online. He's our hostage. He's been our hostage. Mort, you're free to speak.
Mort?
Hostage no more. Oh, maybe still
is
a hostage.
Mort?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
All right.
Lights are on, but nobody's home. The line's not disconnected.
Mort, can you call us back, please?
Well, Mort can call us back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I think anytime you take government money, I don't care if it's the road department, the education system, whoever it is, when you take government money, you're beholden to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And state governments are guilty of it. I mean, all the way up the line. And I think the only way to really put the control back into the people's hands is to quit taking government money and put it back in the private sector and let the private sector figure it out. They will figure it out. They always have.
The spooky part is we have a huge percentage of our population
that works for government.
Well, that and doesn't think the private sector does it better, which is kind of weird.
And how do you wean them?
Yeah.
How do you shut that money off? Here's another quote. I have lots of quotes today.
Yeah, we're good.
You guys have heard these, I'm sure. This is 1887. Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh. Quote, a democracy is always temporary in nature. Let me finish before you get mad. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that the voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. We don't like to hear that, but I think it's true.
But it is true.
And I think we're living it, because once you start down the entitlement path, how do you turn it around?
Right. How do you get people away from that? How do you retrain people to earn what they have? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be said about owning something that you earned.
Yes.
Instead of owning something that was given to you. You take better care.
That would
care
be just
of it.
Possessing something.
Yeah, I mean, but it's human nature if the government comes out with a program and says, hey, we're going to give you this,
mm-hmm.
if you do this, you're going to take it. You're going to take the free money. Let's take the free money now, and we'll get back to, you know, doing things our way later. You never get back.
Right.
You never.
No.
And then what you said, how do you wean people back to the right road of earning what they have?
Because you can't get elected.
No.
If that's your goal.
Yeah, we're going to take away all your free stuff.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be freer. And everybody goes, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, Mort, are you in there?
Yep. Yes,
hey,
I am.
Hey, there we go. Glad
to get through. It's a marvelous program. I think you're on the right track. Your 1892 remark was very interesting because James Kennedy remarked over his program and in his books that the Supreme Court did rule that this is a Christian nation after reviewing all of the earlier historical documents. They should have said this was a Christian nation because I think we've gone downhill very badly. I wish I had the court case in front of me to tell you. The other point was we're discussing America to be great again. I would much prefer the words of de Tocqueville, the Frenchman who came over here trying to discover why America is great. And he found out it was the churches that made America great because they were good and they taught goodness. And that basically that's all I have to say, and I will hope you keep up the program. So America needs to be good again through the churches, and unfortunately the churches seem to be out to lunch or something.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mart.
Thanks, Mart.
Good, good words.
I think a big problem with the churches began when they weren't allowed to preach any kind of politics.
Well, they silenced themselves because they got confused about politics and morality.
Well, again, but it was about the money. I mean, they
worried about the tax exemption.
They won't get their tax exemption, yeah. So they stand down on a lot of these issues that people need to be set right on.
Yeah. And President Trump tried to sign an executive order that did away with that ruling from the Johnson administration in the 60s is where that whole idea mm-hmm. of
yes.
separation – and, of course, it started with Jefferson, but it's all been misconstrued from what the original intention of Jefferson's words were. That's another story another day perhaps. But they're trying to reverse that, and everybody's afraid that if we do speak on politics, then we're going to lose our tax-exempt status. I have a completely different view on it. And I believe that government cannot grant churches tax exemption. They can only recognize it. Governments cannot grant tax exemption. They can only recognize it because of this single truth. Only a sovereign can tax a subject.
Mm.
And if government thinks that it has the power to tax the church, then government is sovereign, not God.
Right.
Oh, that's awkward.
So even if they take away a piece of paper that says you don't have to pay taxes, guess what? The church doesn't have to pay taxes anyway. That's a conviction. And I have to tell you...
But do they have the money and the fortitude to stand on that mm-hmm. on that belief and fight it out in court?
I don't think they do.
That's what they're afraid of.
I've shared that view with a lot of different people, and they all kind of go away shaking their head. Well, I'm not so sure.
But
there's consequences to that belief. Well, there's consequences to all of our
beliefs. Absolutely.
And the problem is we don't stand on anything.
No.
The problem is, we expect the pastors or the priests or the ministers or whatever the head of your particular church is to go figure that out. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the people are the bulk.
Right. Recently, I shouldn't say
so
recently.
So if people stood up, I think it would be different.
Two or three years ago, I contacted many, many, many pastors in this town, and we started a new group, a pastor's fellowship, with the intention and purpose of educating on legal issues that are impacting the church. And they all said, we don't want to get into politics. Let's just fellowship.
Yeah.
So I walked away from it.
Right.
So,
because what does that mean? Let's just chat about the state?
Yeah, let's just go have a hamburger, you know.
Oh.
They didn't want to talk politics. They feel like there's no place. And here's some irony on it. The day that they decided they didn't want to do that again, they said, hey, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day. Let's go celebrate it. And I said, what? You want to talk about a Baptist preacher who was involved with politics?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, right. Why would you say you want to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, but you don't want to look at the issues that are affecting us today?
Because what did he do?
He challenged government.
He stood up against
it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's probably one of the most powerful tools we have that we need to take back out and use is
activism.
The churches.
Christian activism.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so. Another quote. This is from Daniel Webster, early Secretary of State. Quote, "To preserve government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper."
Mm.
That's a scary statement.
That is a super. Is. Do that. Say
it's
that one
true.
More time.
It's true. Okay. Daniel Webster says, "To preserve government, we must also preserve morals." Because a constitutional form of government can only be maintained by a moral people.
Right.
Because that's where our freedom comes from, is
we
deciding
to
live well.
We have to operate on the same basic assumption of how the world works.
Yes. And then he says, morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, meaning morality and religion, if you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes impaired and corrupt, corrupt meaning no religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't
tell
no
right
morality.
From wrong.
So we're an impaired people today, right? Mm-hmm. According to Daniel Webster. So I keep interrupting myself. When the public mind becomes impaired
like
and
it.
Corrupt, laws are a nullity and constitutions are a waste of paper.
And look at today. How many laws have we passed that we don't follow anymore because we don't like them?
Mm-hmm.
They're not.
Well, they want laws. They want laws, but
only
those laws don't mean anything if there is no morality, though. If there is no morality, then really your basic assumptions about how the world works, you can't legislate morality. I mean, how many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't legislate morality, but that's what we're trying to do.
That's what they say we do, and I take issue with the statement because it's always about legislating right or wrong.
Right.
Right? So that's morality. Government does legislate morality. Thou shalt not kill.
But not the real morality. I mean, not the in your heart of hearts, you know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they want like a new gun law for the guy in Tehama County that had already killed his wife and then went and shot people.
Right.
We need to make a law for that. And it's like, well, how do you...
Yeah, first let's line up all the laws he broke before he,
How about enforcing the ones that are on the books
already? Killing people's already wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, and how are you going to get ahead of somebody who's a loon?
Yeah.
Well, this guy shouldn't have had a gun in the first place if the, what was it, the Air Force didn't put him on the... disqualified from having a gun list like they should have, everybody.
Well, yeah, there are all these kinds of things, but even that, I mean, unless you have X-ray vision and ESP...
Mm-hmm.
In your police force, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
All right, we've got one more quick break here because we were tardy. Okay, I was tardy. Got them all at the end of the hour. But we have another hour with Guy Asherman, so it'll be fun. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask. Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces.
Back. You're listening to We the People. We have a second hour here coming up, but in our final 2 minutes of this hour, you said on the break. You didn't tell us the quote, but you had a quote from Lenin to give a little perspective.
Okay. I was going to give one.
Oh, or do whichever one you had.
Let me give another one, and then I'll contrast it in the next hour.
Knows what?
With the ones that I've been doing. Okay?
Okay.
See if you know who said this. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. These firmest props of the duties of men and citizens, and let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. It was a farewell address of George Washington.
Oh, there you go.
The father of our country.
Oh, the guy who didn't believe in God? According to...
Oh, yeah, who knows?
According to recent history?
Yeah.
What the heck?
And then another father of a different country. To rely upon convictions, devotion, and other excellent spiritual qualities, that is not to be taken seriously in politics. And that was Vladimir Lenin.
Sure. So if you're going to subject everybody and do all sorts of terrible things, well, you better demoralize them.
Yeah.
And take... I mean, literally, demoralize them.
Yes, yeah. He also said there can be nothing more abominable than religion.
Sure, because it flies counter to everything.
Personal
else.
Responsibility.
Yep.
Individualism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, no, it's a collective state. We will be the nanny state.
We'll tell you what you feel, think, and can own, can have, can earn, how many,
where we know what's best for you.
And that's what's happening here.
And that's exactly what's happening in our federal government, right?
Sure. You look at it at the end of the day. Lenin's theory or view of the world, he was planning on being God. You can't have God and then a guy being God. I mean, that
competition.
Yeah, exactly.
He eliminated all of his competition.
Exactly.
A few million of them.
The Kim Jong-un program.
It's funny. Nobody had a better idea than him. All of a sudden.
All of a sudden. Oh, my goodness. Well, right. We'll be back to further discuss in the next hour. Our guest here is Guy Asherman. He has a Higher Ground Counseling Service. Higher Ground Counseling. What did you call it?
Center.
Ugh. I have a mental block. Maybe I better go there.
That's kind of apropos.
I was going to say,
block, counseling.
I have a mental block. Go to the counseling center. I'm cured. You can find everything about him on wethepeopleradio.us. Good afternoon. You're joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And our guest is Guy Asherman. That was stereo Guy Asherman. I was working backup.
I wonder which voice they thought was mine.
I know. So if you missed the first hour, you should catch us on the archive. And the archives are free. And it's interesting. I had somebody else send me a link to a radio program that I didn't have time to listen to during the day. And I thought, oh, I'll just go listen, later on. I guess they have to pay for their archives, or they have it set up so it has a paywall. Hmm. We don't have a paywall.
Free truth is free.
Exactly. Yep. Well, we did this to educate, and entertain. It's a little bit of entertainment, a little free entertainment. That's Bob's department. The music's always fun. But we've got shows dating back into 2010, lots of topics, pretty much anything you'd ever like. And if you have an idea, if you look through it and you go, well, hey, they never did any shows about this, that, or the other thing, shoot us an email.
Give us a call.
Make a phone call.
7 years ago.
100 years ago, you should have said. If you have comments or suggestions or whatever, you can email us or call us, and all that information is on the site at wethepeopleradio.us. Mm-hmm. Everything's in MP3 format, so you can send it to a friend. Very easy. Mm-hmm. Download it and listen to it while you cut your grass, but make sure you have that rearview mirror on your glasses so you can watch for your neighbor. Make sure you post a lookout. I don't know.
Because they might not like your landscaping.
I'll never think of grass mowing again. I mean, he's forever.
Just send your wife out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Make your kids do it. Another good reason to have your kids mow the lawn. I don't know.
Sorry, honey. I know you're listening.
Exactly.
But I'll be on the roof watching out for you.
It's a sniper. Oh, my gosh. So, I changed the title of our show. I didn't know what we were going to talk about. We never know. Mm-hmm. With Guy, we never plan it out because it's just not fun that way. It's just too much pressure. So I put a new title on here, Rediscovering Our Foundations.
Yeah, good.
That seemed more like it.
Yes.
And honestly, that's why we feel like we're standing in shifting sand
mm-hmm.
as a society. And I think there are a lot of us, though, that really actually know where we stand. But a lot of them are being quiet.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think about that?
They're getting shouted down.
Yeah. I realize it's a self-preservation.
Let me share a verse with you that kind of highlights this.
Oh, look at that. It's like we practiced.
Yeah. This is from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 14 and 15. This is what the Lord says. And this also tells us that these issues are timeless. Human nature has been what it is forever. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says, the Lord speaking, justice is turned back, righteousness stands afar off, truth is fallen in the street, and equity or fairness cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And that's why so many people today don't come out and speak out, because they make themselves, they will be preyed upon by others who are so full of hate and malice. And the last election proved that even though polls were not leaning in the direction of conservatives, the people out there do have that right to speak with their vote. And I hope they keep doing it.
Yeah.
Well we were kind of laughing about that. The polling all said, Hillary was going to sweep it. And what they discovered after the fact was people said, oh, yeah, no, I'm not voting for him. Totally voting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right. I think there was a lot of folks. Well, obviously, there were a lot of folks that either said they weren't going to vote or weren't going to vote for him or hadn't made up their mind. Well, they had made up their mind, but they didn't want that public debate or ridicule or whatever you want to call it. They didn't want to go there, so just quietly they cast their vote. And I think there's more people out there than I think the general public would lead you to believe that think the same way, that know we're in quicksand right now, and we've got to get things turned around, or we're going to be in we are in serious trouble.
But the danger is that we mentally allow ourselves to feel beaten.
Yes,
I always think about driving. Now let's forget about all the people that are bad drivers. Let's just think about driving in general. Everything about how our system of roads works depends on everybody doing the right thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There aren't always barriers between the two lanes. I mean, if people really didn't follow the rules, they'd all be crashing into each other. They'd be changing lanes on top of each other. And those things happen, but not all the time, not every day. You're not really necessarily taking your life in your hands.
The system works when everybody follows the rules.
But so everybody's basically in agreement the way the world works, although people are a little weak sometimes on what the laws are.
Well, it's interesting because we all live basically the same way. Whether I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative, I get up in the mornings, I put my pants on the same way, I drive my car to work, I try to get a paycheck, I try to take care of my family.
Yep.
And so we all live by those same principles. But the rhetoric that is so strong.
Yeah, you would think we had two different civilizations going on at the exact same time.
But the thing of it is that the rhetoric that the liberals espouse and repeat and champion is not how they live either. They live by conservative ideas. They live by capitalistic ideas. I love it when Hollywood stars get down on capitalism. And they make billions in a capitalistic enterprise called movie making. It's just they don't live the way they say we're supposed
to. But there's also, I think, a pretty strong voice out there that is becoming more united of the people that live on the backs of the government. And we talked a little earlier about government handouts and how do you get people back that have lived that way for so long. There's a lot of folks out there that are protecting what they have, and I think in their heart of hearts they know that the direction we're going is wrong, but they've got theirs. And let everybody else worry about how to fix it, but don't take mine away. Don't build it in my backyard. Yeah. There's a lot of that mentality out there that we've got to turn that around and I don't know, give people hope that they can make it on their own.
Well,
that the system will work for them as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, specifically to that point, living on Social Security disability or something of that ilk, I mean, now apparently I did meet a girl who is on Social Security disability because she has ADD or something, and I thought, wow, are you kidding me? So you just graduated from high school, and you have now relinquished all earning potential going forward for the rest of your life. You're not even going to try. She was excited because she had this guaranteed income. And I thought, you have any idea how not far that's going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't going to carry you.
Yeah, how far ahead you're going to go in your life.
You literally just decided what your potential in life is going to be.
Yeah, you capped yourself.
And that was okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we got to get out of that.
You know, Bill, you had said, how do we turn that around? I think, number one, you can't take it away from them because you're going to create a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you do is you freeze it. So that however many dollars they're getting remains the same for the next 50 years, and it becomes, by virtue of inflation, it becomes less and less and less and less, so that eventually they realize, I can't make it all this. I better go get a job. I think
guess
that's kind of, I mean, if we say we're going to turn off the faucet, we can't.
You can't.
No, you, no.
You can't do that. Because,
but I do think that,
frankly, a lot of these folks have put themselves in a position where they are unemployable. I mean, they didn't keep up with current trends, current technology, whatever. And to go back out into the job place or job market right now, they're not employable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to take.
And I get it. There are a lot of people that are against their will,
right,
trapped in that system.
There are people who are
through no fault of their own.
It.
Absolutely.
Right.
So
oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's always going
to
be folks.
And we're
out
never
there.
And we're not opposed to that. We want to help people who genuinely.
But can
need
you imagine
help.
How much we could help those folks if we didn't have the other people who voluntarily laid down and decided to be carried?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
would free up a lot of funds. To,
sure, mm-hmm. It would free up quite a bit, mm-hmm. And it just is sad to me though that seems okay. That's a goal,
right?
Wow, mm-hmm. You know, to just decide I'm never going to do better than this. This is it forever.
Well, let's hope that the economy and the system does really turn around the way we're hoping that it does with tax breaks and all of that. That actually some really lucrative jobs become available for folks such as that. Because, you know, we don't manufacture anything anymore.
Right.
So where's the guy who would have had a great job on an assembly line somewhere making pretty mm-hmm. decent money? He didn't have a job anymore.
Right.
Know? I was so confused. But not, maybe. when they, in New York City, the protesters were protesting a tax cut when President Trump was speaking there. Was that yesterday or the day before? Protesters on the street protesting a tax cut. That's insane.
Well,
yeah.
I think their argument was it was a tax cut for the rich. It was a tax cut for the corporations. Not looking at the big picture, that if corporations are freed up from
but
having
they don't
this
believe
boot
that.
On their neck, they mm-hmm. can hire more people.
Right.
You know what? They're going to make more money.
And but there's such a fundamental disconnect on capitalism, they don't even realize that that's the incentive to hire more people.
Exactly. Yeah. Those corporations have to make more money, and they'll hire more people and make more money.
But they don't believe that.
And the bottom 40% of wage earners in this country don't pay taxes anyway.
I think it's actually 50.
Is it 50?
Yeah.
And so they're out there protesting that it's not a tax cut for the poor. Well, the poor don't pay taxes.
Well, and the other part is they're mad because I read this whole big long article. I get email from, we'll call it opposition research. How's that? And this whole big long article was this diatribe about how the new tax bill is going to hurt the poor because they're not, some of them aren't going to be eligible. These were illegal aliens who did not work and they weren't going to be eligible to get paid for having children. So they were never going to pay anything in. But there was a question mark on the new bill as to whether or not they would actually receive this payout from federal tax that they never put money into. And I thought, have we gone completely nuts that somebody would actually publicly, from an organization, take a stand that that's hurting the poor, that they can't get more free money? And so I was having this discussion with someone the other day, and they said, well, you know, those other people have way too much. And I said, oh, really?
There you go.
So, yeah. So at what point do they have too much, and who decides that? I mean, if you do well, then are we entitled to come to you and say it's time for you to cough it up? And yet people don't feel like they have as much as the rich people, so it's time to take it. And I thought, man, Marxism's alive and well. We will. Do you have any good Marxism quotes?
Well, Lenin, Marx, same thing.
Yeah, it's all the same. Part and parcel. We will be right back. We are here chatting with Guy Asherman from the Higher Ground Counseling Center. Watch me do it, huh? I'm cured. He cured me. Look at that. This guy's amazing.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
And do we have a lot of wayward sons, huh?
Yes, we do. And I'm one of them.
We all are.
Yes, we are.
To a point. Unless we coalesce, and then it feels like we're all going the same direction. Like today, see, right here in this one small room, we're all on the same page.
I don't believe in relativism on a spiritual level. I think we're all in the same boat, and it's the Titanic. And we need to be spiritually rescued. I was thinking maybe we, you know, we've been talking collectively about some of these issues of being able to, and I have a couple more I want to share, just to make the point. But those are the same principles that are important for our foundations as individuals. And then psychological health comes from having foundations. So if that's okay with you guys, I'd kind of like to move in that direction a little bit. Okay, so a couple of more quotes from the collective thinking of socialism. This is Lenin. And boy, this is a prophetic statement, okay? This is, Bill, you said earlier about the things that they said have all come to pass in this country, you know. He says, quote, "If we can effectively kill the national pride and patriotism of just one generation, we will have won that country. Therefore, there must be continued propaganda abroad." My computer's giving me problems. "Continued propaganda abroad to undermine the loyalty of citizens in general and teenagers in particular, by making drugs of various kinds readily available, by creating the necessary attitude of chaos, idleness, and worthlessness, and by preparing him psychologically and politically, we will succeed." That's Lenin.
Wow. And when was that?
Well, he was 1917 to 1924.
Right, so. I just wondered where we were in history at that point with him.
Probably around 1920.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he says, "We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us." We're doing that too.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sowing hate and scorn towards people who disagree. And so it's a product of human nature, but it's also a product of design by people that we really don't want designing anything in this country. So anyway, the fact that we as a country need foundations collectively, we need common values. We need those things that hold us together. We also need those individually. Mm-hmm. As individuals, and now this is, again, getting kind of back to the psychological piece because it applies to each and every one of us, that the same difficulties that we're having collectively, we're also having individually because we're not sure what we believe. I'm not sure what my values are. I'm not sure, is there a God? I'm not sure, are there absolutes? Are there foundations, or is my life built on sand, too? And if I'm living my life on sand, it is a horrible, scary feeling because you never know when a wave's going to just take you out, right? So it's important for us as people, as individuals, for our own psychological health, to have a great conversation about
What are my values? I suggest people write them down. Mm-hmm. And where did your values come from?
Yeah, because I think it's one thing to know what your values aren't. And right. It's easy to rail
that's
against
a good point.
That.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your values?
Right.
That's a great point.
And I think that our health is much greater when we are living for the values that we are for instead of living for the values that we are against. Because
right.
then I'm a cynic. I'm a critic. I'm
sure.
negative. I'm against everything. I'm against everybody. And then for the values that I do stand for, they don't even come through the message
right.
because I'm so busy attacking.
Well, that's the guy who wouldn't believe me that there was no $4,000 that they hadn't lowered the standard deduction to $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why did you call me?
Yeah.
If what I'm telling you, if you're telling me, well, I don't believe you, well, why didn't you call somebody else?
Yeah.
So he was such a cynic
right.
that even in the face of fact, he still didn't have anything to stand on to weigh that.
But I think
no place
that
to
would,
go for truth. And I thought, man, that's got to be kind of scary.
Yeah. I think that would be a great exercise, though, is just
write down
what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And then how different is that from what you see happening today?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, too. It's a good our opening talking about all this sexual harassment, you know, real, perceived, and in between, mm-hmm. is a great exercise in what you believe in a way, because mm-hmm. so many people have put their, I don't know if they meant to, but they've put their faith in famous people.
Yes, and they're all falling.
And all of a sudden, whoops, hey, famous people are, how inconvenient, they're people.
So what is that one absolute in our life that never falls?
Right.
Because everything else can and does.
But then I suppose I can hear the person in the background who's saying, well, if you believe that God's in charge of everything, then how do you explain war and how do you explain the bad behavior of these other people?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, he's not doing it either.
Well, you know, we love to blame God for the choices that we make.
Exactly.
We're the ones who create war. We're the ones who make bad things happen. And
but God always gets blamed.
He always gets blamed, but he also gave us a free will. You know, he also said, you know, here's my recommendations. I think you should live this way.
I have 10 big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, then, you know, he lets them do that. He doesn't force any of us. He wants us to turn in our heart. And, you know, and Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And with those kinds of words, I think it's important for us in the midst of all of the chaos that we as individuals still experience peace. So the world's a mess doesn't mean I have to be a mess. And,
yeah.
And this gets back to those values that we mentioned a minute ago. What's important to me, apart from everything that we've talked about on this program, basically is beyond Bill, Aaron, or my control.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We can't control those things.
Yeah.
We can get on the radio and we can do this, right? But it's outside of our control. What are the things that are inside my control that make my life better and give me a sense of peace and joy? And I think that is found by setting my feet upon the rock.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a foundation, there are absolute truths, and maybe I've got five or six of those basic truths that say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to sink.
Right. I'm going to live by those truths.
And that's noble. Otherwise, we're just sticking our finger in the air, and whatever which way the wind is blowing,
yeah.
Well, that's my truth now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a conviction.
But see, and most people do adhere to the general, you know, if you look at the list, you know, thou shalt not kill and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people didn't all basically agree to that, we'd have a lot more killing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, we'd have a lot more killing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who obviously spin out of control on that,
mm-hmm.
but the bulk of people have all accepted
right.
you know, good principles and
yeah.
live on those good principles, which is why they're all on their side of the road, and we just
right.
the place isn't just a bumper car show every day
mm-hmm.
and everybody getting killed. I mean, most people are pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I would argue that they're operating on the basis of their own best self-interest.
And then there's that, yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. so, I mean, it's my self-interest to stay on the right side of the road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's not that I'm living by principle necessarily.
No.
You know.
But they've, you know, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. You know, most people aren't out there to hurt everyone, right. I guess.
And I agree completely, because I have that thought oftentimes when I'm sitting at a red light. And it's a long red light.
Yes.
And there's no other traffic on the road. And I'm going, you know, I'm going. There's no, you know, no cameras. There's no police anywhere. But I still don't.
As far as you know.
I still don't.
And that keeps us honest, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know we have a left-hand turn lane right by the house, and it's like, okay, that's it. It's funny, I came into the left-hand turn lane the other night, and there was a guy who was, like, way out into the little slashy lines and up into the crosswalk, because he obviously is coming, it's coming, it's coming. He was, like, rolling. Kevin, it's not. All right, it's not coming, and I'm just going to sit here. And it was just the two of us on the road. There was no one around.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
It's true, though. There's a lot of that. And I guess when it seems like the world's gone mad, I always sort of look around and I think, well, really has it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, sure,
I agree,
we highlight all the hysteria, but...
But we are setting ourselves up.
Oh, but as a society, I think in general, we're kind of going the wrong direction.
We really are. We're sending so many mixed messages out there.
Yes, sir, I don't mean to discount that.
And how is that impacting me as an individual? With all the things that are happening collectively, what is it doing to my mental health?
I think it makes you negative.
It makes me negative.
Yeah.
I don't have the freedom to go start my own business. There's so many rules and regulations that it's just impossible. Or I have to have an EPA study before I can even farm my own ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it deprives us of a sense of accomplishment. It deprives us of a sense of self-respect. And those two things are incredibly important for our mental health, our mental well-being.
That whole pursuit of happiness?
Yes.
It's more like the resignation to what we can get. It's not a pursuit of happiness. Pursuit implies, like, momentum.
The interesting thing is that in an entitlement society, that is, as much as people are getting gratis, the angrier and the angrier we are getting. And so why is it that people are getting angry when they're getting their needs met? Because I think they're being deprived of self-respect.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
And we're hurting them. We're not helping them.
Well, I mean, who would have ever thought in the world that people who are quote-unquote poor would all have cell phones?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, you know, you kind of look at what happens, and yes, there are people who are way below that and who are really struggling. I'm not going to minimize that. But still, in general, the folks that...
Well, it's not only that. They'd rather have a cell phone than a house.
Yeah.
They would rather be homeless than have their cell phone, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be, you know, if you're gonna not be making it, make it in this country, because this you can do okay.
You can go through the poorest parts of any city, and you can go to third world countries where people have shanty towns.
Yep.
They don't even have hinges on the door, and they have a satellite dish. Mm-hmm. I saw that in Africa, and it's just amazing to me.
That is mind blowing.
It is, yeah. Yeah. So that's especially how they want to live.
Especially when sometimes they won't put them on our roofs of our houses here. Because it's not the right spot. You can put them on a cardboard house?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Quick break?
Quick break.
Huh? Yeah. Seems like we always have a quick break. We have a lot of quick breaks around here.
Time flies.
Exactly.
Time flies when you talk about important stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
See you.
I'd say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven. But every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside, so I pray that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away.
Bob keeps pointing at me. He wants me to start talking. I'm like, but I was listening to the song.
It's a great song.
That was a great song.
Yeah.
Who is that?
That Styx. Two hit songs, same name, completely different songs. Peter Frampton, Show Me the Way, and Show Me the Way from Styx there.
So what was that, 70s? Early 80s?
No, that was actually 1990. That was kind of their comeback song.
Great song.
Yeah.
Perfect for today.
Show Me the Way, yeah.
That's okay. Should I change the name of the show again? Just keep coming up with new names. Okay, so the five psychological needs. Five psychological needs.
All of us have psychological needs, and you know, and I don't mean it to be a self-centered thing. I think we have to die to self and live to something bigger than ourselves. Okay, I think all of us need to be a part of something bigger than us. Otherwise, it's a huge disappointment. What am I doing here?
Sure.
Right?
But so, if you're not personally healthy.
Right. But I need some affirmation from something bigger than me. And the five psychological needs are love. We were created to receive it and to give it. Okay. From a creation standpoint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love, security, belonging. I think we need to belong to something bigger than ourselves, usually a cause or a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Achievement. We have a fundamental need to be achieving something in our life. And the last one is some degree of recognition for that achievement. So in a system that stifles achievement and recognition and thinks of us only as a collective instead of as individuals, we lose our psychological health. We are healthiest as individuals when we have the freedom to be able to exercise our gifts in a free society. And that's why our psychological health is not the best in this country right now, because we keep beating people down with regs, with rules, you know,
mm-hmm.
and saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. You know.
And a lot of the belonging, especially in today's climate, is based on negativity. We all hate together.
Yes, it is true.
Therefore, we are companions on the road. It's like,
well, and then when you are successful, when you do achieve some level of success, you're ridiculed for it, and people mm-hmm. want to take it away. It's like you didn't.
You owe everyone.
Yeah,
you owe that to everyone because you didn't do it.
Yeah, you didn't earn that. You earned that on the backs of somebody else, and that's a dangerous road to go down.
But even if you leap over the person who has created, you look at the folks that think $15 an hour as a minimum wage is going to solve everyone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at where that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone to automation.
Send half of them to the unemployment line.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gone to automation. But the other thing too is that it makes the cost of everything go up. So they still can't get it.
Yeah.
So they climb the mountain as in their mind, they get there. But the price of everything has had to go up in order to support that wage, so they still can't afford. And for some reason, we're not connecting the dots there. Where's logic in all this?
Yeah.
Where is it gone? Do you have any?
Well,
I think social media enables all of this. The hate and the dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Because that's where they can not only express their outrage, but they're aware of things they wouldn't be aware of otherwise.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the downside of social media. I think it's made us all insane.
Yeah, it has.
Made us all insane.
Yeah. So on the individual level, you were asking a question, and I was wanting to come back to the individual.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I know what I was going to say, and that is that these things are so important to us.
Yeah.
That if I am unemployed, one of the healthiest things that I can do is go volunteer somewhere. Go do something. Mm-hmm. Be contributing in some capacity. I don't care if you're picking up garbage alongside the road. Do something so that you know you're a part of something bigger than you, and you're not just taking, you're also giving back. People are healthiest when they work. And I know that there's listeners right now who probably can't get work, and my heart goes out to them because I know what it does to us in our heart.
Yeah.
What it does to us
in
our mind.
I was speaking with a guy on Friday. Actually, he's a veteran and always has worked and been really productive, and he's had health things. So now, and he's not that old, you know. I mean, he's in his 60s, early 60s, but not,
just a kid.
Not that old, right? Mm-hmm. Getting younger every day, as a matter of fact. And, but he's now in a wheelchair, and we won't say who messed up the surgery, the VA. Messed up surgery on his hand, so now he's got kind of his hand is like a claw. So, and he so now he has no money, right? He bought a manufactured house, but when they inspected the roof, they didn't bother to tell him that the roof should have been replaced 3 years ago, and so now he has to pay $10,000 to re-roof. So all these things have come, and he goes, he just said, I'm just so discouraged. I've never been unable to take care of myself. He said, and I'm super isolated. And I thought,
it's an awful
that existence. Is just the worst. And what do you do? Right? There's no magic bullet for that. But
well, we help them as best we can.
Right.
Under those situations and circumstances.
But he was exactly all those things you said. Missing all those things one by one by one. They all got, you know, they all got clicked off.
Right.
And they're all super necessary.
Sure.
Super necessary. So now we're training people to grow up and be that way. Let's grow up with no, you know, I mean, you have an education on paper, but your degree is in lesbian studies, so you can't parlay that into a job. So now You think you have the tools, but the tools don't really do anything.
And you're mad at the system for not giving you a job because they're all
bigots. And you have a student loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a student loan you get to labor under. And so, I don't know, that set up to fail thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all of this social engineering that's going on. I think if you let people operate under their own best interests, good things come from a free market economy. And anytime you get people in there with their own ideas of trying to stir it up, and they come from the academic and political community, they have these ideals that don't work, and yet they're forcing them on us. You know?
Isn't that bizarre, though, that somehow we've gotten to a point where, you know, work is not, you know,
it's noble.
Funny.
It's not
noble. Remember back in the day, work was sort of who you were a little bit. And okay, I could see how that could become unhealthy at some level, but Now
well,
that's...
There was always, I mean, people, whether they want to admit it or not, there was always a little bit of pride in what you achieved through your job. You know, you were able to buy a house, and, you know, you raised your family, you put your kids through school, but you did that on your own back. You know, you hunkered down and got it done, and there was a sense of pride and fulfillment in that. Yeah. That,
but there was also opportunities. And I do think an awful lot of people today are lacking the opportunities because we haven't given the private sector opportunity to release them to give those folks jobs and opportunities.
Oh, and I totally agree with that. I mean, how many businesses are closing, and especially in California, leaving California, because they're just, at the end of the day, it's like, all right, I just can't make it fly here.
Right. But I think the other side of that is we still have opportunities out there, but you have to be willing to accept maybe something that is a little less than what you had your heart set on.
Absolutely.
And work your way into something.
Yeah, that kind of has gone out of vogue.
Yeah,
Your way up.
Yeah, everybody wants to kind of start at the top. You know,
they want to have the same lifestyle their parents have.
Right.
When they've been working on it for 30 years.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I really believe that. I mean, there's jobs out there. They may not be the job you want, but it'll get you in the marketplace, and at that point you can kind of start moving around and moving up. But when you get out of school with a big degree and a big student loan and you've got to make $30 an hour to make it pay, you're starting at a disadvantage. But that's a choice you made.
Well, it's interesting, though, because you were looking for someone at work, you know, to work in the parts department. And every day Bill would come home, he goes, okay, I had some people come in today. Mm. One came in with her boyfriend. No pen, no resume. It's like
Totally unprepared.
Strike.
Yeah, no. No training on even how to look for a job. I mean, that was all stuff that we kind of learned in school. Mm-hmm. And today,
but it's dare we say the words common sense?
Yeah, not anymore.
You know, bringing a pen to a job interview now is something where we require instruction.
Well, for crying out loud, who's going to walk into a job interview without a resume?
Well, then there's that.
You know, I mean, it's like, here I am. What do you got?
Yeah. You know, you lucky people.
Yeah.
I've arrived. Where's my trophy? Yeah, I don't know. And the one thing we haven't discussed is the drugs from your Lennon quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you look at this legalization of marijuana, I bet Lennon is thrilled out of his mind there from his little dirt nap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're putting our entire society to sleep. You know, marijuana is called the anti-motivation drug in my circles.
Yep.
It makes people lazy. It makes them not care.
Well, you don't notice that your life is going nowhere.
Well, no, you don't care.
You're all good. You're all good with it.
As long as you have money for munchies, you're happy.
Yeah, you're happy. I mean, life's all right. I could live like this the rest of my life. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But you're not fine.
Right.
Things are going to pass you by. People are going to pass you by, and you're going to be stuck there.
Yeah,
and what was good today is not going to be good tomorrow. And you're absolutely right; it's total demotivator.
Yeah,
and the scary part is the people who want to control them. This is exactly where you'd like everybody.
Yeah,
in a less is more.
Yeah,
it's the less is more drug.
Yeah. Pretty soon,
they'll have free
pot dispensaries.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And, can you believe we're talking about that again in the city of Reading?
Well, January 1st, they have to figure out a way to supply it legally, for everybody.
Although we have no standards. Our pharmacist that has been on several times, Dr. Drum, and anybody who still thinks marijuana is great for you, please go back and listen to those couple of shows we did earlier this year with Dr. Philip Drum. But he did a very good job of explaining that we have no standards for driving under the influence of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, alcohol, they can clip you down to almost nothing, and they can detect it. But the marijuana thing, we still haven't gotten serious about how we're going to regulate that part of it. So my whole theory on the driving... only good for about another 28 days, and
there was a guy on the radio the other day that was advocating the legalization of hard drugs, LSD, and these drugs that, and he said, for folks that think it's dangerous, maybe what we need to do is legalize it and have people
chaperones.
Yeah, exactly. Have a chaperone.
Oh, I was kidding.
No. You can go to a place. You can take this drug, and then there'll be people to keep an eye on you to make sure you don't walk out in the street.
Shepherds.
And
we've come full circle.
But what you will get out of that is you will be enlightened. You will be enlightened by taking these drugs.
And so someone who still has brain cells can shepherd you while you enlighten yourself?
Yes.
Holy crap.
I don't need a designated driver.
Bob, do you have a song for that?
it was insane that somebody could actually publicly take that position, and they were very serious about it.
Oh.
Yeah. So legalize everything, because it's really not that bad.
Because people will self-monitor, because we're really good at that.
Yeah,
we're awesome at that, usually most of the time.
Yeah.
All right. So back to capitalism. We'll do a little two-minute thank you to capitalism here and recognize it for its great achievements in the world, because achievement does not come from weed.
No.
You heard it here first. You're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us, although we do play a lot of songs from the weed generation. Those are the only flashbacks we'll be having, however.
Space cowboy, yeah. Some
call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby, say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
You know, I read somewhere that that's
you know,
the only song.
I always hated that song, but it's kind of funny now. I kind of like it more now.
I read somewhere that that's the only song they could ever find that used the word pompous.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone actually studied that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only song out there.
He was the guy who studied it, he was a toker, too.
There's something for everyone. That's the only thing marijuana did for us, was bring us kind of fun music back when. But now we should get rid of it. Oh, my gosh. But we digress. But it's true, though. I mean, the whole drug thing, you're looking at it on the street. I mean, we have people that are literally like Night of the Living Dead, just walking around. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest problem, I was talking to somebody yesterday who has been running a business largely out of their home, and they decided, you know what, let's get a storefront. That's a good way to do it. Yeah. And now they had to spend all of their money on fencing and security and cameras and all this stuff to keep people from either breaking in or, you know, using their front the front of their building for a bathroom. Yeah. Crazy, mm-hmm. You know? And I don't think that just comes out of the blue. I think, you know, we're talking about legalizing all these different drugs and then magically that all takes over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't be just a coincidence. So, so what do we miss?
Do you guys know
or who, overlook, shall I say?
Do you guys know who Frederick Bastiat is? Frederick
no.
Bastiat. He wrote a small book called The Law.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote it in the midst of the French Revolution in like 1850s or something. And it's really a great read. You can get it online free through a PDF or some kind of format. I would just encourage people to read it because it's one of those books that just makes so much sense. Why are we so missing the boat? You know, it's that common. Mm-hmm. But the premise of his theme is when government does...
False alarm.
When government does what I as a citizen cannot do because it's illegal... Mm-hmm. Then government is illegal. Okay? So government is taking, if I take money from my neighbor because they have more than I do, and I decide I want to keep some of it or I want to give it to somebody else less fortunate, so I'm taking from this person, giving to this person in the name of compassion and benevolence, which is not about my money, it's about my neighbor's money, so it's right. Neither compassion nor benevolence.
Yes.
So that's what government is doing. Government is taking away from people and giving it to other people, and it's against the law to do that. I mean, this gets back to some of our foundation thoughts of what is fairness, what is just. And a progressive income tax is not a just system of government. You know, how can you take from somebody, give it to another, and somehow feel like you're doing the Lord's work because the poor are so needy?
Yeah.
But it violates everything the Lord says about that. Now, where's the responsibility lie? Well, the responsibility lies with me. I'm going to go help my neighbor. I'm not going to take it away from somebody else. I'm going to go help them.
Right.
And I want to speak life into their life. I want to speak love into their life. And with that, on individual levels, there's accountability because I know you. I live in your neighborhood. I see what's going on. And when you're getting a check from Uncle Sam, there's no accountability and there's no effort to try to help you to become a better human being. I think all of us have a need to make other people better,
to encourage them. I want them to help me become a better person. That, of course, is what counseling is all about. It's why we have a counseling center. We want to help people become happier. We want to get them into a more stable state. We don't condemn. We don't point fingers.
What about the blame game?
Well,
is that out?
The blame game is what's kept them in their spot.
Exactly.
Right.
Because they're not accepting responsibility, saying, I need to do something with my life. Instead, they're saying, I can't do anything with my life because it's somebody else's fault. So we have to love people. We have to encourage them. We want to help them to have psychological health. And, you know, the way you win the world is one soul at a time. Mm-hmm. Christ says, come to me, and my burden is light. I am here for you. And out of love, then, we are compelled to live a better life because we have a relationship with the lawgiver himself. It's still the best way to live.
And there you have it.
That's good, good advice.
And so instead of doing the New Year's program, we're prepping it now. So you can plan on doing this for next year.
Okay.
This is all good information for how to set things up for next year.
I was going to say we had it back a month early.
I know. We were ahead of schedule. I just wanted to let people know that I'm posting the link to the law that people can read, and it's actually quite short.
It is.
That'll be on the site for today. So you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. We will see you next week.
Can you link Higher Ground Counseling on there?
Oh, it's already on there.
Awesome.
Oh, it's the...
Would love for some people to call and that is
counseling
helpful.
Center.
Yeah. And by the way, we accept Medi-Cal. We help those who are in the worst state. And
That's good to know.
It is, yeah. So if they want some help, I hope they call us. 941-9003.
Bonus. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
We're coming back next week talking about national security with Claire Lopez. Just Claire, too, instead of the usual cast characters. I think you will like it a lot. See you then.
All right. Thank you, Aaron, Bill, and Guy Asherman. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.